Man, I've got those hit songs from Top Gun really stuck in my head.
Kenny, whatever.
I got the Danger Zone. Take My Breath Away is so catchy too. But it's like they're kind of.
Have you ever seen Top Gun? That movie's so good. The original Top Gun.
We've talked about this so many times.
Yeah, your brother loves it because he has.
No, taste, right? You're mixing me up with another friend. We've had the same conversation.
God damn, your brother loves Batman because he's a dumbass.
Now you're getting closer to the truth. I don't know if it's because he's a dumbass.
Your brother loves Jesus and Batman because your brother wishes that he was a self-tortured individual with daddy issues. Perhaps your brother does have daddy issues, but I imagine you have more. That's why you're so quiet about it. Always taking those issues and placing them on your brother's shoulders when you talk to your friends, complaining about your brother's love of Jesus and Batman.
My brother's not that, like, not really a Christian.
I don't even know what I'm on about. I'm giving you a fucking... I don't know your brother. I'm sure he's fine. Fine guy. I've always wished I had a brother. A brother I could blame all my problems on. Someone else that I could target as a reason for my self-loathing, because I'll never look at myself as the
this
reason.
This is in your wish fantasy realm. Yes,
I know it's other people. Other people are the reason for my self-loathing. It has nothing to do with me.
Or like, if you get a wish, you could just wish like, I wish I were self-adjusted and happy. You're like, I wish I had a brother to blame all my problems on.
Yeah. I mean, I hope
you never get a hold of a fucking monkey's paw or fucking genie's lamp.
I imagine I'll get like the genie's lamp or monkey's paw and whatever forces control you. Be like, God damn, you're ruining it.
You're gonna have like all three wishes, just like three different siblings that are like different degrees of like fucked up psychology for you to deal with.
And basically nothing about my life changes whatsoever. No issues.
I think I need
normal.
I think
am I being picked up okay?
I mean, I can hear you fine, yeah.
Good. Do you hear the ghost in my room?
I don't, but I never hear it while we're actually recording. It's only when I'm playing it back.
Good. I always add that to the recording as a joke. Afterwards, I sit down before I sit in. I just add it.
I knew you were up to something in those couple of minutes in between. You just like, you're not even using like a white noise like creator, you're just like literally breathing into the mic and then like stretching it out. It's some homemade white noise to fucking thwart me in the except I'm winning because I know how to get rid of it like instantly now.
I gotta change up the noise then.
Oh, you're only hurting yourself because it just reduces the quality of your vocal track.
I wish I had a brother to blame it all.
That's what this white noise shit is. This is the brother wish fulfillment. All right, you ready?
Yes. Do it to me.
He walked out in the gray light and stood, and he saw for a brief moment the absolute truth of the world. The cold, relentless circling of the intestate earth. Darkness implacable. The blind dogs of the sun in their running. The crushing black vacuum of the universe. And somewhere 200 animals trembling like ground foxes in their cover. Borrowed time and borrowed world and borrowed eyes with which to sorrow it. And lo, for the earth was empty of form, and void, and darkness was all over the face of the deep, and we said, look at that fucker dance.
Welcome to Heat Death of the Universe, a podcast that can, must, and will blow up the moon. It is August 5th, 2022, 11:39 a.m. Korea Standard Time. And I'm sort of running on fumes. This should be interesting. How about you, Jason? What are you running on?
I'm thinking that Diesel. Once we blow up the moon, people will finally be able to admit that we've always been their favorite podcast. I'm running on
that. That's how we'll do it.
Dreams. I'm running on dreams.
Running on dreams. Running on danger zones. Stuck in my head.
So,
nuclear war? Is good? You know, is actually good?
I think it is. Not for the reasons that others do. I just think annihilation isn't so bad.
Okay. Your ideas are interesting and intriguing.
A large scale, what's it called? A rage room where you just break stuff?
that's what a nuclear exchange would be.
Yes, the Earth is your rage room, and you break all the little things on it.
Globalize rage rooms.
Why not? Everyone has some repressed anger to get out. What I think, though,
but then we gotta let everybody press the button at once.
That's what I was gonna say. Oh, sorry. Everyone should get a button in the mail.
Everyone
and
gets
their own nuke to shoot. A nuclear it's their football. Choice. Yeah. Yeah, they don't get to choose where it's aimed at. Maybe it gets a randomized location.
How quickly do you think the nukes would be launched if this scenario were real? Every citizen on Earth is given a button that will annihilate the world. I'm going to give it about 10 seconds after like the mail goes out.
So fast. That type of temptation?
Actually, the real question, because of course it would be instantly, but the real question is how many people would be pressing it at the exact same time all around the world?
Well, in that situation, you'd never be able to find out because
that's
once
true.
Again, the polls would be useless.
Yeah. The exit polls were a little thin. The data's a little thin on the exit polling of the we issued nuclear detonator devices to every person on Earth. well, now that's just some silly, funny speculation. Now the serious people are serious adults in the room. They're telling us, some of them are telling us, that nuclear war could reverse global warming. So, silver lining in that mushroom cloud. And I need to pull up the article to refer to.
You know what else? Annihilating everything could also reverse global warming.
Yes.
No people. No people probably means less emissions, I'm guessing.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's like true global extinction, like then there's just no more globe to be warmed. I don't know if we have enough nukes to pull that off, though. Probably not. I don't know. If you set them all off at once, who knows? send them down to the core of the Earth, like that movie The Core. That I've never seen, but it looked so bad. You got to kickstart the core of the Earth with some nukes. I think it's the same basic premise as that movie Sunshine, where they're trying to kickstart the sun with nukes because the sun has died or is dying. Weren't you a fan of that movie? Or am I thinking of someone else's brother?
No, Sunshine, right? That movie's awesome. I really like it. It's been a while, but I'm a fan of that movie. That's
I like
Chris Evans at the top of his career.
Oh right, he is in that. But I think it's like a Killian, is that how you say his name?
I think so.
The very, very beautiful man who plays the Scarecrow in the Nolan Batmans.
Aren't they all beautiful?
He's like striking looking, though. Hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Like me.
Yeah.
The number of times, just the number of times I've been called striking in my life.
People
hard to count.
People just want to stare into your eyes and fuck them out of your skull. It's very romantic.
It's always been hard for me to count, though, come to think of it.
So, I mean, I don't know. How serious is this article? What is the point of this, even? The first sentence is, nuclear war is a bad thing. There's a hyperlink. What does that send us to? Let's see. They're like, just in case you don't believe us. And it links us to another Huffington Post article called Building a Nuclear Weapons Free World. All right. Nuclear war is a bad thing, right? Scientists from NASA and a number of other institutions have recently been modeling the effects of a war involving 100 Hiroshima-level bombs, or 0.03% of the world's current nuclear arsenal. The research suggests 5 million metric tons of black carbon would be swept up into the lowest portion of the atmosphere. Well, then it's worth it, right? I don't know. This just seems insane to me. What it really, kind of the main reason I pulled this out, other than like the headline was obviously like provocative, kind of clickbait in a way, is that it just seems like nobody has any like real hope in reversing global warming. Like people aren't even really pretending to anymore, it seems like.
I don't.
Or maybe that's just my perception, because that's kind of how I feel. But like, I saw this, and in the same day, another headline that we're going to mention, I guess, in a minute. But this plan that we could like dim the sun, just like turn down the volume on the sun a little bit. And these ideas are just so desperate and crazy. Like.
Hmm.
Like, well, we can't do anything about, like, corporate pollution. So how about we do some models on, like,
we can't
a
even
small
do
nuclear
about-
explosions taking out the carbon.
We can't even do anything about celebrity pollution.
That's true. Another
much
good
less
teaser.
Corporate solution. I mean, obviously, this article is a bit tongue-in-cheek. I do think that they ran the models and everything, but even the authors, like, at the end of the article, was like, the cons seem to outweigh the pros in the event of global cooling caused by even a small nuclear war.
No shit.
Well, unless you're me and think that annihilation might be the answer to most of the problems. Just sweet nothingness.
Also, though, speaking of, like scientific modeling, like, I'm pretty sure there's no serious, like, I don't know, research out there that says that a small quote unquote nuclear war is even possible. Like, though it may, and maybe I just don't know, but like all I've ever heard my whole life is that like if a nuke really goes off again, it's not going to be like the other time we did it because we were the only ones who fucking had them then. Right. That's the difference.
Mm. Well, I mean, they,
But the idea of like the chain reaction of like, you know, no country is just going to like passively accept a nuke. A country that has access to nukes. So
exactly,
it's like, there's no such thing as this small nuclear war they keep mentioning. Like it would just be global catastrophe. I'm pretty sure, but that's just me. I don't know. Nuclear war is a bad thing. I found out today. From this stupid Huffington Post article. Sorry, what were you going to say? I feel like I might have stepped on something there.
Oh, I mean, they defined a small nuclear war as 50 to 100 Hiroshima-sized bombs going off. But even that doesn't seem small to me. That's a lot at one time. 50 nuclear bombs going off across the planet. So I imagine that disrupts a couple of things.
I mean, I think in some of the models of like nuclear, like Holocaust, like one of the things that happens is like fucking tsunamis and like earthquakes and like all kinds of shit also starts popping off. It's not just the bombing and the radiation and the nuclear winter, which is all bad enough itself. But yeah, I don't know why we're like we're really educating our listeners on the nuclear war bad. So I guess we could probably move on to the next thing.
And I guess in these modern times, there wouldn't be any, like, Matthew Broderick-style character who could go in and coax war operation planned response computer, whatever the fuck it was called in that War Games movie, computer to not nuke the entire planet. As sad as that makes me.
Yeah, it seems a little outdated and a little bit now, just Hollywood fantasy.
Now we.
I never saw that one though.
Oh, great movie! Nominated
for the
Academy Awards.
Really?
Yeah. Really. Oh. I like that movie.
I just assumed it was like kind of a, I don't know, like a middle of the road like 80s movie, but
it's I like it.
Academy Awards, eh?
Three of them.
Interesting.
Believe it or not.
Take My Breath Away.
Were a different time.
Take My Breath Away got an Academy Award for the Top Gun soundtrack. I learned that today.
It got a Jason Award for Sex Song of 1989. That wasn't 1989, was it?
86.
Oh, shit.
You're almost at it.
Oh, man, I remember.
Your favorite movie that you think was made in 1989.
I was three and I was, sexing it up to Take My Breath Away.
Gross.
They called me Boss Baby.
I don't want to prolong this fantasy scenario any further. This climate shit in the U.S. So, I mean, this couldn't be just more predictable, I guess. But I guess it's worth saying since we're talking about climate stuff. $2 billion for climate-related issues. And this gets contrasted with $37 billion more for policing in the U.S. We can also find all these other things to compare it to, like $840 billion for the next fiscal year for quote-unquote defense. I don't know how much we've sent in total to Ukraine now, but it's easily more than $50 billion. Priorities just seem kind of out of whack. But that's like almost too predictable to even really worth, like, I don't know, be worth mentioning. But I guess speaking of the new climate deal, the one that environmentally conscious Senator Joe Manchin was like largely behind. Would you imagine it's a good bill overall? It's gonna help with all the problems.
I imagine it'll help Joe Manchin buy another yacht. Maybe a yacht that has like a dome that like comes up like a convertible top, so that whenever someone's on a small boat screaming at him for being an asshat, he can just put the dome up and not listen to him.
Yeah, I found this Twitter thread by someone. A blue check person. They seem to be a serious climate. They're a NASA climate scientist. Talking about this bill, And he does try to be like even-handed, I guess. And he says, here are some of the good things in the bill. It's paid for by taxes on corporations and the wealthy. Fee on methane leaks over federal limits starting at $900 per ton. I don't know if that's, I mean, fines never dissuade these companies from doing this shit because the profits always outweigh the fines, like every time. Anyway, long and short of it is like a lot of it is just like a lot of the funds are just going to be spread around to people who shouldn't have them and to places that aren't going to make a difference, as like one might predict. Well, the fossil fuel industry really likes this bill, so that's a good sign, I'm sure.
I think so.
Yeah. Let's see. This is from a New York Times article. He quotes, he says, but the chief executive of ExxonMobil, Darren Woods, said he was pleased that lawmakers had defined clean energy to include carbon capture and hydrogen. We're pleased with the broader recognition that a more comprehensive set of solutions are going to be needed to address the challenges of an energy transition.
Oh, hello, construction. Sorry if you can hear that. There is a jackhammer going off outside my house.
Damn, I actually don't hear it.
Oh, you'll hear it on the recording.
So, yeah, like, to be expected, like, this bill is just garbage. And it's also very, very, even the funds that I think are going to be misallocated overall are not even that much. It's like spread out over a 10-year period, so it basically amounts to $36.9 billion per year, which is 4% of the military yearly military budget. Again, priorities pretty out of whack. But let's get into some of these more wacky solutions to climate disaster.
Well, I did want to bring one up that I heard about this morning that's not in the articles.
Yeah.
Have you heard sun dimming?
I literally referenced that on the episode already, dude.
God damn.
And it's the article. That's the one I was just going to talk about.
No. Oh. Right.
Which link do you have?
Sun dimming. Look, that's the one next that we're talking about.
Yeah. Did you find that all on your own, too?
I did. It was on this document that I found. So I wanted to tell you about this sun dimming tech.
Tell me. I actually
take a giant pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses and cover the sun with them. Has to be Ray-Ban. Okay.
That seems expensive.
I use the same tech to dim my brain.
Yeah.
It's working.
It's working. So we've got a hope at battling this burning to death problem we have on the earth.
You know, I've always known I was a little too bright. So want to know how?
Huh?
My dad always called me son.
Jesus God. you light up my life. I'm so bright. Well, no, really. Tell us about the sun dimming plan.
Right. So sun dimming. Basically, they've realized that one way that you could potentially reverse global warming is by making giant, I'm just going to say sunglasses for the earth, where you dim the sun to certain degrees to cool down parts of the earth, which seems interesting and like an easy solution for global warming, but it could have negative consequences for like all the people who don't get to control the thermostat.
Well,
in all the places also that don't get the control of the thermostat.
As fun as it is to think of, they're not giant Ray-Bans. It's like just spraying a shit ton of chemicals into the atmosphere that would literally dim the sun.
Gaseous Ray-Bans, you know. Ray-Bans in their gas form.
The new model of Ray-Bans made of gases. Yeah, they're like, it says deploying the technology using special planes would be relatively cheap and simple, costing a few $1 billion a year. It could, if maintained, hold down global average temperatures, blah, blah, blah. The problem is they don't have any clue what the real effects would be on the planet of putting these chemicals into the atmosphere. And let's see. It also, could backfire in the sense of, remember we talked about the worst year in human history? It was 500 something. And it was
it was because of volcano eruption and there was no sunlight for a year or some bullshit.
Yeah, I think even longer. But yeah, that's basically they're saying that's also a possibility of what could happen is just we have not enough sunlight and then all of the chain reaction of things that would come from that would happen. So in other words, this is just a really stupid, crazy, desperate idea, but some seemingly serious scientists and groups are kind of pushing this idea. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to ever even be tried. I don't know. It could be, and it'll probably just make things worse. In our final list of crazy ideas to save us from burning to death, I think I would say the nuclear war one out of the three is probably the most sane one. No, that's not true. I'm trying to think which direction we're going here. Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, the third one is blowing up the moon. No, this is not a Mr. Show sketch. You brought this up yesterday. I had never heard of this before. And I thought maybe you were just remembering the Mr. Show sketch as a real thing. And then I Googled it and it was nope. There was really this professor who proposed that we could create favorable weather climate patterns if we just literally exploded the moon.
Yeah, we could control the tide.
Is that...
We could...
Yeah.
Define the tide. No longer would the moon control our tide. You could even build Death Stars without the laser that blows up planets. Build man-made moons.
So
I think blowing up the moon would be better. Better for everyone. Plus, it'd be cool to watch. Just sit outside, watch the moon blow up.
Yeah, the downside is that chunks of the moon would just crash into the Earth.
Maybe. Not necessarily.
And, so this guy is a mathematics professor in Iowa, Alexander Abian, I don't know. His unconventional cure for all life struggles, as he believed that blowing up our planetary pal would solve virtually every problem of human existence. He put forward his moonless Earth theory in 1991 in a campus newspaper. You make a big hole by deep drilling, and you put their atomic explosive. This guy sounds like an idiot. And you detonate it by remote control from Earth. Hey, he's thinking like us. Get that remote control. Using nuclear weapons to blow up problematic things in space, as some have posited, could be an approach to get rid of any pesky asteroids that look set to do us in like they did the dinosaurs. The blockbuster movie Armageddon saw oil driller Bruce Willis and his band of merry men do just that, but the approach has been touted outside of Hollywood. But that's very different from blowing up the moon, I think, because blowing up a asteroid or whatever would be kind of far enough away to where its broken up pieces would miss the Earth, or they'd be small enough to burn up upon contact, but the moon is too close for that. And one of the funny things this the professor said in one of the two articles on this I found was that he compared himself to Galileo for being like mocked for his idea, which you found kinship in.
I did.
As you're often the Galileo of your life, being mocked for your fringe but brilliant ideas.
Like blowing up the moon or everyone just laying down and dying?
Yeah.
Not like mass suicide. Just
lay down until the elements can overwhelm you.
Yeah. That's not suicide. That's just making a choice to lie on the ground.
That's just called, let's see what happens.
You
could
lie on a bed if you want. Wait for the dust to suffocate you. My house is dusty. It wouldn't take very long. So I have no duster to dust with.
There's no way you can ever find one.
Yeah, there's nothing I could use instead.
Shit out of luck.
Tried using my computer mouse. It just didn't work.
So yeah, we've got some good theories going, some good plans for global warming. Small, you know, a mild nuclear war. Dimming the sun with untested chemicals and blowing up the moon.
Yeah.
Feeling better about climate change already, I gotta say.
You should. But really, what are the solutions? Are there any?
The solutions are corporations have to stop. Like, we have to, like, immediately, like, we have to 10 years ago stop pulling shit out of the ground, basically, to sum it up for the layman.
So there are no solutions.
Not really, no. I mean, it's, yeah, like we've
As
said,
in,
like,
into, we can't ask people to do that. We can't even get people to wear a mask.
I was going
to imagine asking them to go without their air conditioner.
Or, like, even, I was thinking, like, way more extreme of, like, we have to, like, band together and just, like,
stop using refrigerators.
I was going to say, like, violently overtake, like, corporations.
That's the thing. No one's going to...
No, it's...
Including me. No one's going to give up comfort that most people get from these corporations.
Yeah, let alone, like, risk your life and livelihood and all of that, which is, like, the only way I can imagine any of this shit changing quickly enough. It would be horrible. It'd be, like, a horrible, violent cataclysm itself. But, obviously that's not going to happen either. And I mean, I know what is not going to make a difference at all is like individual recycling and all the stuff we do to make ourselves feel like good people or whatever. Although, you know, we've talked about this. I still think for some reason that it's good that people do those small things, even if they are ultimately not going to help. I don't know. It's the thought that counts. Thoughts and prayers.
If we could just run the world on those.
Yeah. What a world it would be.
If we could just channel those into pure energy. Like the machines did in the Matrix.
Was that in the first one?
Yeah, that's why they were all plugged up to those.
Like, oh, right.
Chambers. Because the machines were... We're generating electricity from humanity's thoughts and prayers.
I thought they were like getting nutrition out of people or something. Or are you just joking with me because I haven't seen The Matrix for a while?
The thoughts and prayers part I'm making up.
Yes.
The people were hooked up to the pods to make electricity, which is really hard to explain via real world, but that was the reason Gav in The Matrix.
That's fine. I thought the people
movies don't have to always conform themselves to the real world. In fact, I think they shouldn't.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for some reason, I mean, I haven't seen The Matrix forever, so you'd know better than me. I thought there was like something to do with like they were using people for also for like sustenance, like nutrition somehow, not like killing them, but just like pulling stuff out of their bodies. Anyway, whatever. Maybe I'm just thinking about Soylent Green and mashing it up with The Matrix. I don't know. Should we talk about these other climate things quickly? Or, I mean, maybe we can...
Sure.
I mean, there's the article you sent me about the PR thing. Do you want to go into that?
Oh, let's just talk about that one later. I was just going to bring up the celebrity thing, then we can move on.
Yeah, hit us with some celeb gossip. It's not okay. really gossip, but yeah.
So, the celebrity thing. Celebrities produce, on average, a lot more emissions than me or you. Me and you combined, even. Some of them peaking out at like 1,000 times more emissions than the normal people. I think like the worst offender right now for it is Taylor Swift of all people, because of her frequent use of her private jet. And a lot of these emissions problems do actually just come from the use of private jets. But taking like, you know, your fucking like 30-minute jet ride from LA to New York because you feel like going to Momofuku or wherever for dinner.
30
is really good for the environment.
30-minute jet ride from LA to New York.
How long does it take? I don't actually know.
30 minutes.
Is it like an hour? I've never
it's
taken
like
a jet from LA to
flight.
New York. Jesus, why does it take so long? It's
or
the
maybe
same country.
5 hours? It's a big country.
It's the same damn country. It's, there's no reason for it to take... Why is America so big?
It's 4.5 hours from Chicago to San Francisco. I know that.
God, I had no fucking
30
clue.
Minutes?
Okay.
You can't even get from Seoul to Busan in 30 minutes in a plane. It's like 45.
Well, I see. I know that... Some of these celebrities, people complained that they were taking 30-minute plane rides.
They are, but they're not going from L.A. to New York in 30
you
minutes.
You mean celebrities don't have supersonic Mach 10 planes?
Maybe some of them do, but the shit that I was reading about was like, they were like taking a, they would take a, like, I read some shit about Kylie Jenner, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and, I think she was one of the first people to be called out for it.
And it was like, She would opt for the flight instead of driving for like 45 minutes. So it's like a 2-minute flight instead of just like sitting in a, getting driven in a nice car for 45 minutes. And yeah, it's, but apparently Taylor Swift is like the number one offender of these like very unnecessary short trips that put a lot of carbon into the atmosphere. Yeah. I'm sure she's probably trying to play it down. She seems like the type who's very concerned about her image as like being woke and caring about shit.
Well, I heard somewhere that Tom Cruise has like used his jet like 4 times in the past week. I actually heard that on a news broadcast I was listening to the other day because this was brought up on the news broadcast. Well, bro, the thing is with like all these celebrity flights or private flights is they're often not needed. They're like going to meetings that they could easily drive to or have a Zoom fucking meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And the jets, air travel is one of the biggest offenders for emissions. That's why like even just fucking normal people travel culture should probably be limited to some degree. And I like traveling. I think it's fun, but maybe we don't need to do it so much. But people really don't need to be flying fucking private jets places. And if they are, they should have a good fucking reason. And I bet most private jet rides are not for good fucking reasons.
Yeah, only the rides on the Lolita Express are moral and...
Those and, like, whenever Nancy feels like getting a nose job.
Yeah, and securing the microchip stocks or whatever the fuck she was really doing over there. We don't need to open up that can of worms now, but
not yet.
Not today. I was gonna say all the talk about travel. I was gonna ask you about your trip to America. I was gonna ask you that before we got started, but I forgot.
Oh, it's fun.
The end.
Hung out with friends and family.
Did you go to the school?
No.
School building. Is that near your hometown?
You know, I didn't get a chance to go to the school building. I hung out with the people from the school building. I wanted to. No, I didn't get to go. There was some stuff going on to where I couldn't. I did go to some music things, and I was shocked to see that Americans truly have stopped wearing masks. I was even called out by this bluegrass band I like. Yes, I said bluegrass, and I do like it occasionally. For being the only person in the crowd wearing a mask, they snarkily said I was the smartest person in the room, with cases spiking so much. And I smugly thought, you're probably right.
Well, yeah. How can they acknowledge, like, well, cases are flaring up all over. Look at this smart guy. Like, trying to be sarcastic, but it's just like, yeah, it's you're stating a fact.
It's because people do not like to have it pointed out to them what they should be doing. It's like why everyone hated that fucking David Sirota movie that was on Netflix. I think it was David Sedaris, not Sirota. Sedaris. It was Sedaris, not Sirota, right?
No, you're right the first time.
It was Sirota, not Sedaris? Okay. Sedaris was that dumb, like, personal essay guy then. Right?
Yeah.
He wrote, like, the smoking cigarettes in France to try to think of his novel type. And Sirota is, like, the leftist guy.
Yeah.
I guess, okay. It's easy to get names confused. Yeah, I imagine they look exactly the same, at least in my eyes.
They don't. I can picture what they look like in my mind. But
I have no clue what either of them look like. I should look at pictures, but it wouldn't help me. If there's anything I know about myself, I would look at pictures of them and be like, why do they look so much like my friend Joshua and Tommy? You guys notoriously look exactly alike.
I'm seeing double here. Two Ann Coulters.
But no, the reason everyone hated that fucking climate movie is because it was, you know, pointing out the futility and the fact that nothing's ever going to be fixed and we all just accept it.
I mean, did everyone hate that movie? I mean, I know some people
I like it a lot, but
it got the approval of like liberal Hollywood or whatever, didn't it? But I guess that's just kind of like
critics.
Oh, look. Right. Well, it got like, I think it won like an Academy Award or something, or was nominated.
It was nominated.
Yeah.
In my friend group, and I base most things on my personal experiences, it was near universally hated for being too depressing and not funny like it was advertised.
I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was fucking hilarious, but you know.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah.
I keep calling it that movie because I've totally forgot the name.
Don't look up.
All right. I was going to say thank you for looking up, and I was like, that's just not right, Jason.
Are you thinking of thank you for smoking mixed with don't look up?
I know. I'm thinking of not looking up.
I'm thinking of ending not looking up smoking.
I'm thinking of smoking. That's going to be the name of my movie. May as well be the name
of my most memoir. Boring art movie of all time. Just you sitting at your kitchen table, like,
just tapping my finger against the table, stand up, like, walk back and forth.
It's like putting liquid in your vaporizer, staring at it, throwing it down, pacing around.
Eat a piece of gum, spit it out.
Actually, this is sounding more compelling the more we're talking about it.
No.
This could be a real hit. I'm thinking of smoking things. That's what it could be. All right. Let's move on to the next chunk of things here.
Michael, you can keep this one short. Old man gets COVID. Continues
again. People. Yeah, that's basically it. And I just thought the quote of the New York Times had of Biden, whatever he wrote on Twitter, he wrote it, I'm sure, himself. Folks, today I tested positive for COVID again. It just like I read it in my head in this like real dummy voice, which I guess just made me amused. Just like, whoopsie daisy, I got the disease again. The one I campaigned on like ending, you know. Anyway, stupid ass Biden.
Did people give him a hard time for catching it again?
No. Nobody gives them a hard time for anything except for. I'm sure conservatives made fun of him. Maybe, I don't know. Actually, I wonder if they did, because conservatives' whole thing is they want to pretend like COVID's not a big deal. So
yeah, I was gonna say I think no one mentions it anymore. Especially, I don't know. I'm being too judgmental. It's probably at this point what America's doing is probably like what everyone should be doing. It's just fucking give up and go on with your business, and when people die around you from it, just pretend it didn't happen. Because they were going to die from something else, like not being able to afford fucking insulin, or you know,
no baby
not
formula,
being able to breathe, or you know,
sun dim-
dying because they had to have a baby instead of being able to save their lives by. Oh wait, yeah, people die. That's all I'm saying. We should accept it.
Yeah.
I should just freely go to work today and not wear a mask.
I'm ready to go out in a blaze of glory, just sucking
freely
down.
Freely lose my job.
Sucking down some sun-dimming chemicals from the atmosphere right into my lungs.
It's going to
be glorious.
I like to draft off of the city buses whenever I'm riding my bike to work, so I get as close to their bumper as possible, and I pull my mask down and just start breathing the exhaust fumes from the muffler as I'm like riding back of it with the wheel of my bike, so I can keep about the same speed as a city bus.
And the millions of
getting
people who live in Seoul never notice this insanity ever happening.
No, they do. Sometimes they get beeped at.
Let's see. So what else here? The head of the CDC, she's being interviewed, and let's see. Oh yeah, this is short. Let's just listen to this.
My dad explained this to me once too.
What? Explained
why
what?
Some people deserve better medical treatment than others.
Oh, right. Let's see.
They work harder. They're more important. Yada, yada.
So, the reporter said, well, I guess we'll just hear it. And a 1, 2, 3. Oops. Buffering. Fuck.
Yeah, it's awful.
Whatever. I mean, okay. Long story short, she's obviously just like spinning as hard as she can to get away from the real implications of what this. I don't know what is this, the Washington Post news like video channel? Yeah, that's the what. Anyway, I'm sort of surprised that he even kind of goes there and like asks her remotely sort of tough questions. But yeah, I mean, to summarize, she's saying what we were just saying. Like, we've given up. We don't care. Of course, we're gonna like give Biden great treatment because he's the president and he matters more. But she tries to not say that and just makes it worse. Yeah, the CDC has been pretty culpable in a lot of this shit.
Maybe we should like give it to her, though. She's being honest.
But she's not. She's like spinning it. She's trying to spin it so hard. She's like, we're giving all the resources and knowledge that we have to this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut the fuck up. She's like, oh, people have different needs if they live in rural areas. And like, it's like she's just deflecting from the real question. She's like, why isn't this the guidance that's officially, you know, the stance of the CDC for everyone? She can't answer it without saying, well, we just don't care about most people, really. And we've given up, like, policy-wise on even pretending that we do. But yeah, anyway, there's that. How do I get out of here? Okay. Let's see. And yeah, and then on top of that, the next thing I have in line here is an article, CNN article. So, you know, not from the World Socialist website with its, you know, all of its scaremongering about COVID. It's from CNN, and it's just reporting on the plain fact that the CDC is ready to further ease quarantine requirements and all sorts of COVID restrictions, which barely exist at all anymore. So it's just like, hey, as the deaths keep going up, we're going to make you do less to prevent them. It's truly dystopian, I have to say. I know it sounds maybe like an exaggeration, but we're resigned. I almost feel like this podcast is like, if you follow it from the beginning, it's just our gradual succumbing to just giving up about COVID in particular. But I'll just throw in climate disaster there too.
We're just following the trend.
Yeah, just being a good American, really, when you think about it.
I don't know. COVID. I haven't had it. Ha.
Me or either.
I just don't know.
I feel like you and I must have had it and just didn't.
It just makes no sense for me not to at this point.
Yeah, same here. Like, every person I know has gotten it. Like,
same. Literally, every person I... Well, except for Yane. But
Haewon got it. Like, my girlfriend that I live with had it. I still didn't get it. It's kind of, well, again,
that's how
again,
I know it's made up.
I haven't had a real proper test for a while. So there's a lot of time spent where I've done a bunch of home tests. So
I could have
easily had it all those times, because those home tests are like pretty inaccurate from what I understand. I've heard like you have to like shove the swab like down your throat and scrape hard if you want to really get an accurate reading on those things. But
yeah. Monkey pox. Those are the pox that like grow little monkeys in you, right? And then like one day you explode as monkeys start crawling out of your pores.
That'd be fun. Fun, horrifying way to go.
It's a great way for your mom to turn into pets. Hundreds of monkey pets. No mom, but you have pets. Pet monkeys.
All right. I'm going to drag us across this line to the next thing, which is how great our country of origin is these days. And it's a series of headlines showing us this.
What makes us great?
Well, one of our premier private corporations is now expanding into the medical sphere. Do you want to tell us about Dr. Amazon? We'll see you now.
Well, Amazon has decided to buy One Medical, which I suppose is a giant network of clinics and online pharmacies and virtual care. Basically, they're getting into the healthcare market, which is great, right? I mean, listen, I've been thinking about this, and it seems terrible, but in America, where we're already a capitalist country, and like we've given up on ever getting anything like universal healthcare because it's universally wanted, but that doesn't matter because the big real people don't want it. And being a fake person, so many like fake people who think they have opinions and votes, they want it. But the real people who actually make decisions don't want it. So what's cool about Amazon getting in on it is Amazon is a terrible place to work, but they are notorious for undercutting the competition's prices. So with Amazon getting into the business, maybe they'll drive the prices down real low. Maybe they'll even start doing price matching. And you can be like, well, this procedure's free in Canada, as you bring your receipt from your Canadian doctor to get your free procedures. And Amazon makes medical care free. Am I right?
What? No.
Huh? That's not how it's going to work? Shit.
I mean, I don't know what their
plan is.
Yeah. I don't know what their benefits are like for their employees. I don't know. It might be decent, but like it's then outweighed by.
I'm not talking about their employees.
Are you talking about with the,
in
with
general this as next they move step? In as they move in on the healthcare industry, and Amazon flexes its muscles and decides. We think these prices are more appropriate, and in general, their prices are lower than other places because they don't mind torturing their workers to get those lower prices. So they drive the prices down for healthcare, not in like good, sane ways, but in Amazonian sort of ways.
Yeah, and the other article about this by Dave Sirota, or no?
Who's it's that?
On his Dave? On his website. He has a new website, actually. The Lever, or Lever, if you're one of those people. The end of that article also mentions the aspect of. I'll just read it. Allowing Amazon to control the healthcare data for another 700,000 plus individuals is terrifying, said yes. Some expert at the American Economic Liberties Project. It will also pose serious risks to patients whose sensitive data will be captured by a firm whose own chief information security officer once described access to customer data as a free-for-all. So yeah, like your sensitive health information might be shared in an unsavory manner. Perhaps with, I don't know, medical insurance companies that you may or may need to rely on for getting the care you need at a decent price. An impossible notion. Yeah, it's just like one more tentacle stretching out from the, damn it, what's that fucking monster called?
The Kraken?
That's good, too. Now I'm thinking of H.P. Lovecraft.
Cthulhu?
Yeah, Cthulhu. The Cthulhu of Amazon. Hmm. Which seems like kind of like a no-brainer. Like, this is a bad direction to go in at the very least. Yeah.
I mean... It is, but the other healthcare providers are pretty fucking awful, too.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Amazon's, well, for now, just going to be a very small player in that field, but Amazon doesn't like to remain as a small player.
Yeah, it's just... It's just
the whole system kind of sucks.
It's just more, you know, power consolidation for a single business entity, which is really... essentially a single person. So I see that only as bad news.
I understand that.
This headline seemed to get passed around a bit. This memo from Bank of America got leaked that said, let's look at it. Bank of America memo revealed, we hope conditions for American workers will get worse.
Oh God, are they not bouncing checks enough?
The financial behemoth privately fears that regular people have too much leverage. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's not much else to really say about it. Just like seeing the truly honest thoughts of the people that run these... psychopathic organizations is just always kind of like, I don't know, I would think worth noticing. That's all, really. It's not shocking in the least. But we're not shock jocks, you know? That's not our goal, to shock you. we're fucking intrepid journalists on the forefront of the news, of the headline landscape. Got to tell you about how Bank of America thinks you're shit. And yeah.
I just don't get why they wouldn't want regular workers to have power. Isn't Bank of America ran by workers? Isn't it a classic American bank?
Isn't it a co-op?
Yeah. It's a bank for the people, by the people, right?
Yeah, that's how banks work these days.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have the word America in it. The word that may as well be a stand-in for freedom and everything good in the world.
Well, it's funny because I was just about to jokingly say, like, yeah, our tax dollars go to Bank of America, but they do.
Well, yeah.
They totally
where
do.
Where else should they go?
Where else should they go? Yeah, I don't know. Blowing up the moon research, maybe.
I mean, I get it, though. Like, you're a bank. You think wages should be taxed more because workers have too much power. And your profits should not be taxed because you don't have enough power. I feel bad for them. As workers continue to get more and more power, what are the poor corporations going to do to offset that? Haven't the corporations suffered enough, Joshua?
Yeah.
Can't we just let them have a win? Workers can't win all the time.
Yeah. The workers are winning so much, they're sick of it.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't rain in Seattle all the time. Workers can't win all the time.
We'll hand over the reins to the poor, oppressed corporations every now and then. Throw them a bone.
We should let them take our breath away.
Da, 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 da. All right. We haven't really talked much, if at all, about this new press secretary for the White House. So much so that I have to look at her name again to remember it. It's like, damn it. What is it?
We got rid of Jen?
A while ago. She willingly resigned, I guess.
I guess I knew that. I don't see why they don't make Biden into the first president that's also the press secretary.
Karine Jean-Pierre.
Ooh, that's quite the name.
You haven't seen her? She's even worse than Jen Psaki at, like, talking. She's so bad at her job. It's pretty.
Where do they find these people?
It's pretty funny. Yeah, I'm gonna turn the
they
old.
They could make me the press secretary.
That would be great. That'd be great for our podcast. You get up there every day. You're like, everyone, remember to like and subscribe. We got a Patreon. that's like the first thing I think about. If you had some insanely implausible, unattainable job, yeah, it could benefit the old podcast. No, she's like, so this just to set it up, one of my favorite Twitter people, Gritty is the Way,
I love that hockey team,
prefaces this video with, "The lengths she'll go to miss the point are astounding," and it is true. So this journalist's about to ask her about how Biden's administration is, like, completing the border wall, and her... Yeah, she just... Well, let's just listen to it.
Why is the Biden administration building a border wall in Arizona?
So, we are not finishing the wall. We are cleaning up the mess the prior administration left behind in their failed attempt.
She sucks at even reading these bad notes.
And I just want to be very, very clear here. On day one, we returned the money, the $8 billion the prior administration took from our military. We gave that back.
Took from the military?
To the military for military
Not families, the poor military.
For schools, for bases. That's what that money was being used. That's what it was taken away from. And so,
God,
again, what we're
you.
Doing
Shut
is cleaning up.
Up
the mess that the prior administration has done.
But President Biden, when he was a candidate, said, "There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration." Yeah. So what changed?
We are not finishing the wall.
We are not finishing the wall.
Walls work.
I like how this
in that
journalist
part of
looks
Arizona.
Like Tim Hattiger.
He does
kind of. Is this the administration trying to get migrants to cross somewhere else, like in Texas? What is the
That's plan? Actually funny.
We are not finishing a wall. We are cleaning up the mess that the prior administration made. Ugh. We are trying to save lives. This is what the prior administration left behind that we are
Press
now cleaning
secretaries
up.
Do. They just repeat themselves the over and over again. I think I can is do this job.
We are not finishing the wall.
By
we are not finishing the wall.
We are not finishing the wall.
By filling
just keep
in,
saying it.
Is this a,
Can
is
you
this
say
racist?
It enough?
Because
believe
in 2019,
it.
When the former guy...
Yeah, the great Joseph Goebbels said something about that. I think
that it was just racist.
Repeat a lie so long enough, people will believe it.
I'm just having
it.
A hard time understanding how this is any different.
I'm not even sure how you get to your first question, to this question that you just asked me. I will say this. A border wall... I'm answering your question. A border wall is ineffective use of taxpayer dollars. So it's ineffective. Of taxpayer dollars. Dollars
ineffective
that actually went to
of taxpayer
the
dollars.
The last administration, the prior president, took from the military.
She keeps bringing up this fucking
schools,
military
which
money
took
shit.
Away from military bases.
Shut the fuck
That's
up.
That's what that money that he pulled away from to build this wall that he wanted, that is ineffective, by the
that
way.
That you are said. Fucking building. Recently oh my God, I can't take it anymore. Thank God it's over anyway. Oh, this is so mind-boggling, fucking maddening, but an awful person. It's just funny. I don't know. It's also funny.
She's just doing her job. She's doing her job.
I guess I'll just read what I wrote on Twitter here. I forgot I responded to this. So the summary of everything she said is, let me fail to dodge your question the most brazen way. I want to be very, very clear. We moved a few billion dollars around and gave it to the Defense Department. P.S. We're completing the construction of the wall. Like she,
we have to.
She could have just said that.
We have to because they left a mess behind, and if we don't complete it,
yeah, but we're not completing it. We're not finishing it. We're not finishing it. We're saving lives.
We're just cleaning up the mess.
We're cleaning up a mess, not finishing a wall.
By building a wall. Different wall, not the same wall.
It's literally like filling in the gaps of the same wall.
Just because you built half of my Lego set doesn't mean that it's your Lego set. It's my Lego set. Your Lego set doesn't exist anymore. It's mine now.
Interesting. Oh yeah, maybe she's getting really deep and philosophical with us. What's that? There's a thought experiment about I forget the word for it. It's like you can if you slowly piece by piece take a boat apart and replace the pieces until they're all new pieces. Is it still the same boat?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The like Narath's something boat. Thought experiment. Yeah. Sure. All right. I take everything back I said about that awful bitch. She's just being philosophical.
She's just doing her job.
Well, her job is fucking awful. So
yes, I agree.
Fuck her. Oh, shit. What did I do?
I do.
Get away.
Go?
Let me back.
Joshua left the podcast. He's no longer with us. Did you come back?
Hey, yeah, sorry. I accidentally I went to turn off my screen and I just logged myself out by accident.
I understand. I just told all the listeners that you left the podcast. And
forever.
Yeah, because I took your Lego set.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed about that, man. Like
my Lego set, I told you that my administration was not going to let you complete your fucking Death Star Lego set. Then I kept building your Lego set.
You know, I'll tolerate all kinds of abuse on this podcast, but talking about fictional Lego sets of mine not being mine anymore is too far.
I know, man. That's why I do it. I've actually been thinking that our podcast could use a press secretary.
Well, now is your chance. You said you could get some practice before the real deal.
Good.
Let's see. Well, we got to get going pretty soon. So let's see. What should we skip to? I mean, I'm just going to let's just look at these headlines and see if we have anything to say about them.
Okay.
Child labor in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. This one was great. So this Hyundai factory, because, you know, there's a lot of car plants in Alabama. there is for possibly because taxes are basically non-existent, especially corporate taxes. We're literally hiring out between, I think, 10 to 15-year-old kids to work in the factory.
Yeah.
But they were being hired by contractors. I mean, because a lot of these factories will hire out their employment to contractors because if they're getting contract work, that means they never have to give the workers full-time benefits, et cetera, et cetera, right?
And it also puts a buffer, like a exactly. responsibility between, yeah.
And Hyundai is like, oh, yeah, we had nothing to do with that. We had no clue there were fucking kids working in our factory, even though fucking managers and stuff in the factory is like, yeah, we saw kids working in there. It's no clue.
Exactly the same like behavior as Nestle when they got caught like using absolutely just on a, like without a doubt slaves in their yeah. on their fucking plantations and wherever the fuck. It was in another country, I think, but it doesn't matter. Like yeah. Nestle knew what was going on and yeah.
They always know what's going on.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah.
Like, how? Hey, we just hired the slave masters. We didn't hire the slaves.
We didn't think they would use their slaves. We hired them to find workers.
I saw an impressive resume with a lot of previous slave master jobs on that CV. And, you know, how could I not hire them? And didn't think they would actually, you know, master over slaves, being a slave master and all. Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, that's gross. I'm sure it happens a lot. I guess at least they were paid.
That's true. Did you ever partake in any child labor?
Technically, yes. I think certain levels of jobs are still considered legal. Like, I mean, my very first job was like delivering newspapers when I was like 11.
Oh, okay.
And then
yeah, you're a paper boy. I hear that job's dangerous.
And I think what it was though is that I wasn't like legally the employee. My mom was, and then I just like delivered the papers for my mom basically. And then in Illinois, there's certain places where you can get a worker's permit at 15. So I worked at a Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois when I was 15.
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Six Flags.
Yeah. I did some of my middle school years. I would, spend the summers either baling hay or, working in tobacco fields.
You've told me, I forgot.
Pretty good pay. I sometimes think that the tobacco fields are, well, I did grow up in a household of smokers, but I think just touching the tobacco also helped develop my nicotine addiction.
Yeah, I'm thinking this would have to be the preamble in your movie, I'm Thinking of Smoking, or whatever it was called.
Or, no, I think it's like a flashback scene. where, like, I start to, like, expand on what makes me think of smoking so fucking often.
You touch a vape pen and suddenly your mind reels back to the tobacco fields of your youth.
Other kids did it too. Like, it wasn't uncommon for like middle school kids to like work in them, but thinking back on it, it was miserable. Like, it's hard.
I can imagine.
But then again, it was good character building.
I mean, I did all kinds of like odd jobs and stuff as a kid, but like
mowing a yard,
that and like just like moving,
beating up school bullies,
moving stuff,
writing essays for other students,
self-made child pornography, just the whole gamut.
That's I don't like to talk about those days anymore.
When you were a star.
I've always been a star. That's why my dad called me son. I'm bright. Like a star. Like the sun.
I was gonna say the star. Yeah. Sun is a star. Fun fact.
It is a star.
I know. I'm actually remembering telling like my students that like a couple of weeks ago, and they like had they were their minds were blown. Anyway, Biden keeps pretending that he doesn't know if he can waive student debt. It's so obvious. I've even read that like people in his administration are getting like fed up with him dragging certain things out, including this student debt issue. Like he's just literally just lying about like, I don't know. The legal research team's been working on it. They've been doing it for like a year. Like trying to find out, can he? It's like, I found out in 10 minutes using the fucking internet. Yes, you can. For 2 years. Yeah, I guess it is 2 years, right? Yeah, almost.
Yeah, basically. Oh, I mean.
Well, he's like.
At this point, wouldn't it just be better if he said, no, I'm not doing it. Yes, we can.
I would respect it more in a
way. I would like it more.
In a way. I wouldn't like it more, but I'd be like, well, at least yeah, he stops lying. But
Yeah. I would like that about it. I know that's not going to fucking happen, though. What's great, though, is he's setting this precedent, though, that no one in the future ever has to try to fix the fucking mess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's absurd because, like I said, you can find out the legality of this. Like, there's certain things just it's a well-known fact that he can do, and he just doesn't want to. And instead of saying, I don't want to, he's just, like, throwing it on his, like, research teams and shit. And he's like, I'm waiting on an answer from the research team. But Biden also is like sending in actual like boots on the ground troops to Yemen now, on top of just made a big arms sale to Saudi Arabia again to kill more Yemenis. Jesus. Why did I even bring that up? It just really brought me down. Sick, sad world. All right, this one. So, who was it? I think it was Breonna Joy Gray. I'm waiting for this to pop up. Yeah, she wrote on Twitter, $1,000 to someone who can name one thing, one single solitary capitulation Biden has made to the left. One. And this was in response to stupid-ass Bill Maher thinking that Biden bends too much to the radical left.
Hey, it must be lucky to have just $1,000 you can throw around like that.
Yeah,
these fucking leftists with their money.
BJG is the problem here. At first, I thought you were gonna say like it must be nice to be a smug fucking hundreds of millionaire Bill Maher, but no, the real problem is Breonna Joy Gray.
Bill Maher is nothing but like a national treasure,
a true diamond. Yeah,
true American hero, Bill Maher.
So I saw this, someone else just like, quote tweeting it, and they said some of the answers to this tweet show how completely delusional liberals are. And let's just scroll through a few of them here. See, there's a lot of joke answers to go through first, but, oh wait, hang on. Where the fuck is it? All right. Someone wrote, ending the war in Afghanistan, ? To which Breonna said, that's not a capitulation to the left. That's his own damn campaign promise. True. And then here's one of the really delusional ones. LOL, you're joking, right? And then a link to NBCNews.com. An article says, Kamala Harris named by Joe Biden as his VP pick. Like, that's one of the things that was a capitulation to the left, was nominating Kamala Harris as his VP. To which Breonna lolls back at him and says, you're going to get dragged for this and you earned it, which was true. The guy got a lot of, he got ratioed, as the kids call it. Infinite pause on student loan payments that will end in some level of cancellation, which pretty clearly is against what he actually believes is best, but he feels is politically necessary to appeal to the left. To which another person replies, except he ran on canceling some student debt. Capitulate would be if he cancels all of it. Okay, and it goes on like that. Like, oh,
I thought he ran on giving me $2,000.
He did that too. That old card gets brought up in somewhere in this thread, and like, it's just so, it makes me feel insane every time I see people still defending that. They're like,
I might have got too drunk in America And someone in my friend group was defending Biden, and I, being very drunk, just started making masturbation motions and me exploding every time they would mention good things he did. And they
got him
and told me to stop, but I just couldn't stop. I wish there why does no one record me? Oh, it would have been great. Anyway,
I can imagine it pretty clearly. Someone also brought up his nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is that how you say her name? I forgot.
I don't know.
Yeah. And
don't ask me how to say things. So, I'll fuck it up.
Right. Who am I talking to? That's not capitulation. It's called virtue signaling, of course. Yes. Anyway, I don't need to read any more of this. I think people get the gist of where it's going. But there are a lot of people just saying these super delusional things about, like, this is Biden's, capitulating to the left.
Let me explain everything he's done for the left. He passed an infrastructure bill. He passed a climate bill. He gave everyone $1,600. He made it easier to get a PEFL loan reimbursement for your student loans if you've worked in the public sector. I mean, something was already there. He just made it easier. He's done so much for the left. Probably, has there ever been a president as left as him? I can't think of one.
You know, most progressive administration of all time. That's what some lunatics have been saying.
I think it's too far left, personally. Like, I like to think of myself as a leftist, but these days, it's tough to watch just how extreme they're going.
Jeez. Yeah, it's no good. Fucking Chairman Biden over here. Okay.
I've heard he's even left-handed. In my day, they would never elect a left-handed president. I thought I was left-handed, but I was made the right with my right hand, like a right person.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just making that up. It's fucking bullshit.
There was a time, not that long ago in history, where
that was a thing.
Left-handed people were considered like
ostracized,
demons.
And
they were considered like demonic or possessed.
In schools, were forced to learn to write and whatever else with their right hand.
Okay, two more examples of how America is kicking ass and taking names. Headline: I'm living in my car to beat the housing crisis. Here's how I blend in. This is a story of a woman living in her car, and just the way that, like, people and news outlets try to take these stories and make them, like, interesting, like commendable human interest things. It's like when it's really just such an indictment of the state of the country, really. It's a good article, but we don't have time to really get into it now. And then another, similarly related thing was high gas prices push family to take out loans for gas to drive daughter to cancer treatments. Are we living in the best of times or the blurst of times? I can't tell. Finally, we'll end on Andrew Yang's Forward Party. Have you heard about this shit?
Oh, the first I'd seen was in these notes.
It's so funny.
But I can't wait to vote for Andrew Yang again.
Again?
Well, yeah. I mean, who did you vote for in the primaries? I've always voted Yang.
I wrote in Hillary Clinton.
That's good. I sometimes write in Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi. And I just write like a paragraph like I can't choose between the two greatest women of my generation. I guess they're not part of my generation.
Sometimes
they
just
may as well be.
They're not even close. Nancy Pelosi is like 9,000 years old.
Me too.
Sometimes, man. I just write their names down on pieces of paper and I put them on my fuck, what's it called? My vision board. And I will them to become true. I mean, I don't know. This Andrew Yang's a fucking idiot. Although he seems sort of like a harmless idiot, at least comparatively to a lot of other people.
I mean, he sucks, but like, I might get hate for this. At least he wants to fucking do something. Like, I do think he sucks, but like at the same time, it does seem like he has some ideals, even if I don't fucking.
He seems sincere, I guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is all just like a grift, like a lot of people are saying. Because
I'm sure it is. I have problems with universal basic income, but at the same time, I'd be fucking happy if we had universal basic income because it would be some type of step forward. Which somehow started associating universal basic income with him, and that makes me sad because I used to associate it with.
He shouldn't have the monopoly on that at all, and his version of it is so paltry anyway.
Why do I associate it with John Rawls? John Rawls have anything? Jesus, what's
wrong? I think you're thinking. I don't know. John Rawls, the philosopher.
Yeah.
Because he is, I think you're just thinking of like the word universal, maybe. But I don't know. Maybe he was into that. I have no idea. But isn't part of the veil of ignorance like something about universal something or another? Anyway.
No, I guess other people also associate him with
Rawls.
Yeah, because of the ideal society stuff. Rawls had the whole ideal society thing. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I had to look it up. I'm not crazy. There are parallels to universal basic income and John Rawls. The whole thing with John Rawls was the only way to have like a fair or a just society is for everyone to be on somewhat of an equal playing field. And some of the like solutions that would be like maybe when people graduate, they're all give like a lump sum of money, or maybe things like inheritance are not allowed, so it just gets redistributed among people upon a certain age, or like, you know, if someone amasses a lot of wealth instead of being able to give it. Yeah, anyways, I remember now. I'm not crazy, but now I just associate everything with fucking Andrew Yang. Anywho, I've never read a book. I'm sorry for saying an author's name and getting your hopes up, Joshua, that you have a co-host who's read a book, because I haven't, and I won't.
All right. So the Forward Party, like, I mean, even just the name, it's just, it seems like it came from like a child's brain. I don't know. It's like, we're not far, we eschew like the far left and the far right. Like, so his whole thing is like, it's just centrism. It's just shitty centrism. So like the people that he's already like recruited for this party, a lot of them are just like basically neocons, or like, you know, very conservative versions of Democrat or liberals or whatever. And it's just dumb as hell. And I can't imagine it going anywhere. I saw a couple of posts like, look at this fun gathering of Forward Party members. And it was like, this is the lamest group of fucking losers I've ever seen. Like 10 people. But, yeah, I don't know. Again, Breonna Joy Gray, who, someone we haven't really talked about for probably months and months now. Now she's come up a second time today for whatever reason. She had like a, she summarizes well what's wrong with this party. And it basically is like, that the problem isn't like extremes on the left or right, that like the problem is, you know, class, and Yang is dismissing all of that with his stupid ass third party. Yeah, it's probably about it. I'll just toss in, I'm excited to see where this Alex Jones stuff takes us. I think we're gonna find out some super weird shit about even weird for Alex Jones shit, since his phone records for 2 years have been essentially leaked, not publicly, I guess, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time before they are made public somehow. Are you there?
I'm here. I was just thinking of Alex Jones and those text messages and what I'll be able to read.
Silently staring off into the distance thinking about maybe Alex Jones.
Maybe the monkey Paul would make Alex Jones my theoretical brother that I could blame all my self-loathing on.
You could be dual press secretaries together for Joseph Robinette Biden.
Alex Jones as the press secretary for Heat Death of the Universe.
Bring it on. I'll take all of that supplement money. I think all of his companies have gone completely bankrupt right now. He's definitely in a downward spiral. I'm actually kind of surprised he hung in there as long as he has, to be honest, considering all of the fucking lawsuits he's had thrown against him over the years and stuff. But it looks like this one's actually going to... I mean, they're saying like he's going to probably be in jail, I think, or at least like... severely bankrupt, which I think he already is, though. Anyway, I'm more excited for like the weird stuff, like his weird just internet searches and stuff to come out. We'll see.
Yeah, me too.
All right, speaking of weird internet searches, shall we recommend?
Sure.
In general.
I've got a recommendation of like I've never read a book, so I can't say this book's good, but I'm going to recommend it. I once knew this other guy who read books who liked the book A Theory of Justice by John Rawls. It was about how people might make better decisions about society if they lived in ignorance, or he called it a veil of ignorance, but basically what he meant is if everyone took a drill to their heads and made themselves ignorant, then they would be nicer to each other. I think that's what he meant,
at least. That's what it was.
Because it would allow everyone to be in an original position, like, you know, the original position being bloody because they just drilled into their head, like in that movie Pi. That was brought up on the podcast recently by somebody. I heard it was a student film about eating pies. It was like an expansion of that scene from that good movie Stand By Me. Everyone throws up by eating too many pies.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky saw Stand By Me and he got real inspired. He's like, what if there was a drill involved in this movie?
Imagine you eat so many pies that you have to drill the pie out of your brain. Yeah, I'm going to recommend A Theory of Justice. I don't care if that's a leftist book or not. Is it a leftist book? Perhaps. But it was one of my favorites in another time of my life, and there's some thoughtful things in it. If I read, I assume there would be thoughtful things in it. I haven't read, though. So there you go.
I think that's a
college textbook.
It's a big old book. Pretty big.
It is.
It's dense. Scholarly work. I've never read it. I just know the basic idea.
I haven't read it either. Obviously, I don't read books. But if I was a reading sort, I would say it's pretty good.
Sounds good. I like the part with the drills you talked about.
Well, there's no drills in it. I just made that part.
Oh, really? Come on.
I'm sorry.
All right. I'm going to recommend the newest Park Chan-wook movie, Decision to Leave. It was very, very good, and I'm excited to watch it again because it is it kind of hops around a lot in time and space a little bit, and I think there's things that I'll catch on the second viewing that I definitely didn't the first time, but it was really good. Saw that in the theater. Shout out to the Amu Theater in Seoul. They screen like more art house movies. Or I mean, Decision to Leave is not an art house movie. It's like a mainstream.
But they also screen Korean movies with English subtitles, right, which is hard to see them with English subtitles in Korea for some reason.
Yeah, I wonder why.
It's hard to see English movies in America with, you know,
Korean subtitles.
Korean subtitles, I imagine, are near impossible. You'd be lucky to find Spanish subtitles.
I think, any are not going to happen. People would complain about it incessantly if that happened.
That's true.
Why do I got to read? Anyway.
Why are they blocking off the screen? Whatever that is.
Yeah. Squiggles. And also, I want to recommend his older movie from 2009 called Thirst, which the whole time I was watching Decision to Leave, I thought the main actress in the movie was the main actress from Thirst. Turns out, the actress in Decision to Leave is actually Chinese and just happens to look a lot like Kim Ok-bin, who's the Korean actress in Thirst. But Thirst is excellent. I just rewatched it and it was like so much better even than the first time. It's it's kind of probably his weirdest, like most unusual movie compared to his others. It's got like a supernatural vampire element to it, but it's done with like a strange realism, and it's like it's kind of erotic, romantic, but in a fucked up Park Chan-wook way, and violent, all that good stuff. And I really like Kim Ok-bin, the actress in it. Also, for those of you who have seen Parasite, the actor who plays the dad, the basement dad, we'll call him. He's in a lot of Korean movies, by the way, and a lot of Park Chan-wook's movies. He's also in Thirst as a priest who becomes a vampire. It sounds kind of cheesy the way I'm describing it, but it's actually a fantastic movie. Both of these movies are. And very quickly, I have to retract something that I recommended like a few weeks ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. I recommended these like primitive technology videos where like people like build stuff, like build this amazing shit. Well,
why are you retracting those?
Because I found out that like almost all of them are completely fake.
Yeah.
And it really, really bummed me out because I found them so like soothing and calming to watch. And
I really apparently like the Chinese lady who makes those, which is not the same guy you were talking about, but
well, the ones I watched this whole video like debunking them, and it was pretty persuasive. Like they actually got emails from people who were on the film crew for these, like, and they're all like, there's different YouTube channels, but they're all essentially funded by the same like person or group of people. And yeah, it showed like if you look closely at the videos, like you can see like fucking like empty like bags that had like concrete in them like off to the side, or like actual like just big like mechanical like digging machinery and shit. So it's just faked, like it's not two guys just like using hand tools. And yeah, I guess it, like there's some Australian guy who does like primitive building stuff, and he's like one of the only legit ones, I guess, and his stuff doesn't look nearly as, you know, impressive as these fake videos. So yeah, Brace Belden of True Anon actually made me search that out, because he's like, you ever see those fake ass primitive building videos? And I was like, hey, I love those. And yeah, but I have to disavow them now. They're fake as shit.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, I really believed it. I don't know. I just was like, wow, these guys are really dedicated to like building this stuff.
For a minute there, I liked the Lisa Queef videos. I think that was her name.
Lisa Queef?
Chinese girl that basically makes the type of videos that you're talking about, only a little different. Like, she doesn't, like, claim to live in the wilderness and do anything, but she just, like, it's videos of making traditional Chinese things the way they would have thousands of years ago. So sort of the same vein, but not the whole I completely live in the wilderness thing that those people make up, just more of just showing making a basket weaving or something.
Well, I would say, just to be super clear, like it's not even that I thought, oh, these guys just live in the wilderness. I figured they probably live in real, like, just normal homes or whatever, but it's that the editing trickery makes it look like they're like digging these like super deep holes into the ground and like And like making cement out of like mud and water. Like when it was all pointed out to me in the video, I was like, oh shit, like this seems so obvious now, like in hindsight, but I just wanted to believe. And there were so many of them with so many views, so I just assumed like, oh, these got to be legit. But gotcha. Yeah,
I have no clue how legitly Zeekwe is. I don't know how to say that name. Lee Z. I guess it's Z. So the last name is Z-I-Q-I. L-I is the first name, or Z-I-Q-I.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say part of the name is not Queef, as you said earlier.
Not Queef, Quee.
All right, I heard Queef. I hear what I want to hear.
Sure, you do. Peaceful videos, though. Not as peaceful as when I briefly got into watching like these super long videos of just like a GoPro attached to the front of a train in Norway of just like basically taking part in a train, exploring the countryside of Norway for hours on end. Those are good videos to get high to. Not that I've ever been high.
Sounds nice.
I have watched videos. I've never read books. I'm going to read a book before I die. Once I learn to read.
It's a good goal. Solid goal.
I can't wait to be literate. All right. Should we end it here? Should we talk about where we are? We have heatdeathpod.com to visit if you want to. We have a Patreon where we're just trying to get money for coffee.
Yep.
We're not even trying to pay for the podcast anymore. We'd like to do that, but if we could just buy a cup of coffee each month. I can't remember the last time I could afford coffee. What about you? Probably not. And if we're real lucky, we'll get enough money to blow up the moon, so everyone will have to admit that we're your favorite podcast.
That's
we also have a Twitter where Joshua says mean things to people.
I'm pretty nice on Twitter.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Yeah. I don't have the stomach for posting wars anyway, so I usually just like find things that I like and maybe I'll retweet stuff that I really like. But yeah, you can contact us there as well. And follow us. We need more followers to look legitimate. Also, every episode, starting since maybe the last couple, I've been including standwithdanielhale.org at the right below the main description as a link. And yeah, so help him out. Send him some stuff in the mail if you can. He's a good guy, does not deserve to be in prison for pointing out the horrible war crimes of our imperialist overlords. And with that, bid you farewell. Right? Did we do all the plugs?
Yep.
All right.
I do. Is that goodbye?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
See you
so long
later. Bye. I'm getting further away from the microphone.
And we're going to take your breath away forever.
Oh, I know what song I'm putting in at the end. Nice.
Okay.
All right. I'll see you later.
Terrestrial. What's that Nirvana song? Terrestrial trespassing? That's not it, is it? Yeah, that's the one.
Territorial pissings.
Oh, yeah. Terrestrial pissing.
Terrestrial passings. Sounds a lot more quaint.
That's the one. Okay. I'm going to go take my breath away.
Goodbye. All right. See ya. Bye.
The first voice recording was made in 1860. It was a 10-second fragment of the French folk song Au Clair de la Lune recorded by inventor Edward Leon Scott de Martinville. But who will make the final voice recording and when? What will it be? Who will hear it?